Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Wednesday, July 30th. I'm Ala Kuziz. For many Black children, hair is a big part of their identity, and discrimination towards kids with hairstyles like dreadlocks is a problem.
This is the way we were born. We were born with this hair. We should be able to wear it in any type of way we want to.
Missouri recently became the 28th state to pass a law banning bias against a Black student's hair. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. Officials at Planned Parenthood Great Rivers are breathing a temporary sigh of relief after a federal judge blocked a ban on Medicaid funding to clinics that provide abortions. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports a Massachusetts judge put an indefinite hold on enforcing the ban, which was included in the recently passed congressional spending bill.
The so-called Big Beautiful Bill barred reimbursements for clinics that provided abortion that also receive a certain amount from Medicaid. Affiliate Planned Parenthood Great Rivers operates clinics in Missouri and the Metro East. A spokeswoman says it's unclear if the bill would directly affect the organization since Missouri's barred the state's Medicaid from reimbursing abortion providers for years. Chief Medical Officer Margaret Baum says even if the organization is excluded, it would still put pressure on clinics.
Even if we are not directly affected by losing dollars, we will see an influx of patients from places that cannot sustain the care and stay open.
The Metro East has become a destination for patients traveling from nearby states that have banned abortions. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page says he has turned over his cell phone to the Missouri Highway Patrol and will cooperate with an attorney general investigation into mailers about a countywide proposition. The mailers were sent to county residents earlier this year about Proposition B, which would have allowed the county council to fire department leaders and the county councilor. In a win for Page, the measure was overwhelmingly rejected by voters in April. The mailers were funded by taxpayer money. In last night's county council meeting, Page said he, quote, can't imagine that anyone has done anything wrong. He has said the mailers were only informational. County members spoke against Page in the meeting, which he left early. A recent letter from the city councilor to the St. Louis Police Department's Civilian Oversight Board is causing legal confusion. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports on the potential legal implications of the letter.
City Councilor Michael Garvin's letter claims that the new state law putting the police under state control has effectively eliminated the board's authority to investigate the police. This has confused legal experts because the board is still included in statute. Dave Rowland is the director of litigation at the Freedom Center of Missouri. He says one possible explanation for the letter could be that the Attorney General's office is looking to take over the legal control of the police department.
It may not be that Mr. Garvin actually thinks that the oversight board might do something wrong, but he thinks that the Attorney General's office could construe what they're doing as being wrong, and he's trying to wave a flag letting them know.
Garvin did not immediately respond to requests for comment. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal health education program that employs more than 200 Missourians has been defunded. The budget for SNAP Ed was cut in President Donald Trump's massive tax and spending package that Congress passed earlier this month. The program partners with schools and communities to teach people of all ages about proper nutrition, physical activity, and how to effectively use money from federal welfare programs. Missouri received in excess of $11 million for the program this year, which reached more than a million Missourians in 2024 alone. Joe Britt Rankin is administrative director of the Family Nutrition Education Program. She says without SNAP Ed or another funding source, there will be gaps in education across Missouri.
We were in over 75% of the school districts in the state, and we were actually a part of the school day. We were part of the school curriculum, and that will not be provided anymore.
The 33-year-old program officially loses its funding on October 1st. There are 47,000 St. Clair County residents eligible to receive benefits via the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. But Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's office believes more than 10,000 could lose benefits thanks to recent congressional cuts to the program. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
The Republican-controlled Congress cut the federal food program for low-income Americans by 20%. They did so by requiring states fund a portion of SNAP and raising work requirements. Critics of the cuts say the extra requirements will force eligible Americans off the program. Pritzker says the government has a lot of responsibilities.
But the most basic thing that we've got to do is make sure that people get fed and people get health care. And if we can't do that, and if the federal government is going to hinder us doing that, I don't know how, as a society, that we can survive.
Pritzker made his comments at the Leslie Bates Davis Neighborhood House in East St. Louis. The nonprofit CEO estimates more than 90% of those who use their services are on SNAP. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker enacted two laws this week aimed at addressing gun violence. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The governor signed a measure adding civil penalties for people who don't properly store their guns at home. The law also established a shorter time frame for people to report lost or stolen guns, which is now 2 days. Pritzker calls it a common sense measure that's been shown to reduce accidental shootings.
Mandating secure and responsible storage is a critical first step in combating these problems and protecting our communities. If we can prevent even one death or accident through these measures, they will have been more than worth it.
Also taking effect is a mandate that every law enforcement agency go through a federal gun tracing program. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Hair salons and their black clients are relieved Missouri passed a law prohibiting discrimination against natural hairstyles for black people. Brandon Azim visited one salon to talk to clients about the so-called Crown Act.
Inside the Natural Image Hair Salon in the Hickman Mills South neighborhood of Kansas City, 16-year-old Cornelius Mitchell has just had his hair washed and is coming out from under the dryer. Mitchell has been growing his dreadlocks for about 3 years. They're black with light brown colors at the tips. His stylist is grabbing each individual lock, puffy from the blow dryer, untying and retying it for a fresher, tighter look that falls to the tip of his shoulders. His family is all about natural black hair.
My sister, she started growing her locks when she was just a toddler. And my mom has locks too. She has really long locks.
Mitchell, who plays football at the predominantly white Raymore Peculiar High School, said he gets grief from his coaches about his hair from time to time, but no one has forced him to cut it off. But he is glad the state of Missouri passed the Crown Act, legislation that prohibits discrimination based on one's hair, to keep that from happening and to protect him and his friends.
I've seen at work some of my friends, they didn't get hired just because their hair don't be maintained, or at practice it's been a lot, just the white kids just mess with. It's usually people with afros.
In 2018, a year before the first state passed the Crown Act law, a high school wrestler in New Jersey was forced to chop off his locks or either forfeit the match. Missouri is the 28th state to pass such a law. Missouri's two-week-old law bans hair discrimination in schools, but not in the workplace.
That was for Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Anika.
Yes.
In a room with less hubbub is the salon owner LaShawn Briggs, working on locks that are smaller and more intricate than Mitchell's. She says in her 20 years of doing hair, she still hears her clients talk most about challenges of wearing natural hairstyles on the job and why they choose European styles.
I had clients who would straighten their hair out kind of often, especially I had a client who was an attorney. She would always straighten her hair when it's time to go to court because she felt that she would look more presentable if she were to straighten her hair out.
Sitting in Briggs' chair is 59-year-old Rhonda Bean, getting her locks retwisted. Bean says she also felt pressure to westernize her look early on in her professional life.
I was hesitant to go into interview environments with my fresh new locks, although I loved them. I debated about whether I should wear a wig. In one interview, I did wear a wig, and I did not feel comfortable in my own skin.
That fear stems from her school days when you got grief from black and white people if you didn't have straight hair. She got a lot of unwanted attention from her peers when she came with her natural look.
I would get a lot of questions from people with less coarse hair textures about my hair. How do you make it stand up the way that it does? Or can I touch your hair?
Then 10 years ago, Bean heard that there might be a connection between using relaxers and getting cancer. A 2022 report from the National Institutes of Health said that women who use chemicals to straighten their hair were at higher risk of developing uterine cancer. 4% of those women who admitted using relaxers frequently and often developed cancer twice as often as those who said they didn't. As Briggs works towards the back of Bean's hair, she says her top priority is her customer safety. She's banned relaxers from her shop.
I don't specialize in that. I don't do anything with those type of chemicals. The only chemical that we offer at Your Natural Image is color.
Not far from Bean, Cornelius Mitchell is still in the chair, having his last few locks retwisted. He says being in a salon that specializes in natural hair helps him feel closer to his cultural roots. And he's invested a lot of time and money into his locks.
To be honest, I'm at the end of senior year, I'm going to probably cut them. Going to college, just a fresh new start.
He doesn't know what style he'll adopt going forward, but he's glad Missouri has a new law in place to protect him and his friends who choose to wear their hair in whatever style they please. I'm Brandon Azim.
That piece came to us from member station KCUR in Kansas City. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kaziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.